Let's turn to God's Word. As Pastor Tim mentioned, Psalm 32. And also, as you guys know, and Pastor Tim was praying about the election coming up. Back when I was in seminary, in my preaching classes, the professors always gave us a tip, saying that, the things you preach about, there are times you need to change course because of things going on in culture or something that just happened in the community. And I thought, wow, yeah, maybe I should preach about something related to the election. And after a bit of prayer, I'm sticking with Psalm 32. So I won't be preaching about the election today, but something I think is more important because God, our Heavenly Father, knows what's on each of our hearts. So let's listen to God's Word, Psalm 32. It's what they call a Maskil of David. So it's kind of like a musical term. We're not sure what that term means, but this is written by King David during the days. And he writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." This is God's Word. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Word, your timely Word. And I pray that you'll work in our hearts right now. Help us to know you. Help us to trust you. Fill everyone here with your Holy Spirit, so that we would know you even more. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask all of you, if you look in your bulletin, the title is Regrets of My Message. I actually have something different in my notes here. When Pastor asked me for the title, I gave him the abbreviated version. Yeah, so I want to ask everyone here, you guys have any regrets? Any regrets? Now, I was thinking about this. Anyone who is 25 and older, I guarantee you guys got at least one regret. Those under 25, and you guys, I can see you. Do you guys have any regrets? Under 25, any of you? Yeah. And have any of you ever heard the term living a life with no regrets? Have you ever heard that term? Some of you said yes, some of you said no. I first heard of it when I was in college. I think I was like 18 at the time. Just started college. And I heard, I said, wow, that sounds pretty enlightened, living a life of no regrets. But then my first thought when I heard it was, man, that too late on that one. Even by that time, I had all sorts of regrets. In fact, I was thinking about this last night. I have memories of when I was like 1.5 years old. I'm an old man now, but I still remember times then, and I was thinking, yeah, even as a little kid, there's things I regret doing. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. So many things I could have done differently. So many things. Sounds like a noble way to live, living a life of no regrets. But then how do you do that? You know, when I heard it, I said, yeah, it's too late for me, but, you know, how can I do that if I go forward with that way of living? And I couldn't think of anything at the time. You know, I was, really, even at 18 years old, I was just a kid. And, but recently, I did a quick search online. I don't advise anyone do this, but I did anyway, just to see what was out there. And a lot of people put up stuff online about what it means to live with no regrets and how to live with no regrets. And the reason why I don't advise any of you do this because there's all sorts of strange stuff on there. So I saw some weird stuff. And I don't want any of you believing it and following that stuff. And a lot of that stuff, I would say, is just plain misguided and wrong. I disagree with it. But what that revealed to me, that search, online search, is that a lot of people have thought about it over the years. A lot of people have thought about it. It wasn't just me thinking about that. And when I think about my regrets, the biggest source of my regrets would have to be my sins. My sins. And if you want to get really particular about my sins, you could categorize my sins in this one category. You know, that's where I basically lost my temper again with my children, or with Joyce, my wife. That's the biggest category of sin where I have all these regrets, right? And I thought about it, man, that's a big downer. Big downer. It led me to this psalm, Psalm 32. Because what does it say in the very first word, very first verse? It says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. If my sin is forgiven, I am blessed. And in some versions, of the English Bible, they translate blessed as happy. I think the New Living Translation likes to translate blessed to be blessed as happy. You know, the Beatitudes of Jesus, blessed is the man, etc., etc., says happy is the man. Happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Wow, that's what I need right now. I need that right now. And that's the very first thing that stood out to me, right? No one likes to talk about sin, right? But I would guess that a lot of you in here is kind of like me, where if you have regrets, the largest source of your regrets would be your sin too. And it could be different kinds of sin, but sin in general. Because when you and I sin, it's not like, I mean, it is a bad decision that you and I make. But it's not like a decision where, I don't have my phone with me right now. But you know, some of you know I like to play solitaire on my phone, right? And you know how when you're playing solitaire, if I pick this card instead of that card, I will lose. And sometimes I go back and I pick the other card again and I win, right? So sin is not like picking the wrong card and I lose the game. Because with sin, someone's offended. Actually, some people are offended. Number one, God is always offended. But then it could be offending someone, any one of you, right? And if you have pets, you know, you could sin against a little animal, right? I feel bad when I kill, I used to have fish, I feel bad when I kill one of my fishes by accident. My family doesn't understand why I'm sad because of it and why I'm moody that day when one of my fish dies. But that's the reason why, in case my kids are wondering. Yeah, sin offends people. Or I offend someone or some people when I sin, right? But what a blessing it is to have your sin forgiven, like it says in verse 1, right? If you look at it, in verse 1, if you have your Bibles, you look at it, it's a passive transaction to have your sins forgiven. You receive forgiveness. I receive forgiveness. Instead of me doing something to make up for it, that's active. But when I receive God's forgiveness, it's passive. I receive it. And then, as it says in verse 1, you are, when you're forgiven, your Heavenly Father is covering up your sin. He's covering up. And when He doesn't see it, He doesn't count it against you. It's almost like it never happened. Right? In verse 2. If you look at verse 2, you know, happy is the man whom the Lord doesn't count any sin or iniquity. Right? You're forgiven because God covers it up. And then in verse 2, you see that the person who is open with God, who sinned, he's open with God with his sin. He is the one who's forgiven because he willingly and he doesn't try to hide it. He just confesses it willingly to God. He doesn't make any attempt to hide it. That's why it says, it also describes this person as someone who has no deceit. Because deceitful people hide stuff, right? When you think about it, if you've ever been deceived by anyone, and I think most of you have, maybe the really young ones might not, by God's grace, haven't experienced someone deceiving them yet. But whenever any of you have been deceived, guess what? The other person's hiding something from you, right? But when you don't hide your sin from God, He counts you as, He considers you as having no deceit. That's how you are described here, right? You have nothing to hide. And then you're blessed. God covers your sin and forgives you. Right? Now, opposite this, or contrast this, is the one who hides their sin. Those who try to hide their sin. Look at verse 3. David did this too. First he was open. He's happy with God. He's blessed because he's forgiven. But then he recounts a time when he didn't hide his sin. I mean, when he did hide his sin. And what happened? He says, my bones wasted away. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. You know, some people actually connect this psalm, Psalm 32, with Psalm 51. That's a very famous psalm. In a case you're not familiar with Psalm 51, that's the psalm where King David wrote that psalm after he had one of his buddies murdered, bumped him off, Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men, part of his special forces team, but he had him bumped off because he wanted to take his wife, right? And then he tried to hide it. And that's one of the reasons why he had Uriah, his buddy, killed off, because he wanted to hide it until one of the prophets came up to him and says, David, you're hiding some serious sin there. And then David says, you're right, I confess my sin. And in that account, the prophet said to David, you know, God has forgiven your sin right there. And we think, you know, theologians think that's when David wrote Psalm 51. You know, basically asking God for forgiveness. It's filled with contrition. And then some people would say Psalm 32 is connected with Psalm 51, after David has received his forgiveness. So consider verse 3 right here, when it says, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Imagine what David may have been going through when he was trying to hide his sin from everyone. After he had his friend killed, murdered, and he's sleeping with his, well, he's a former friend now, right? A former friend's wife sleeping with her. What it was like for him on the inside. He says his bones wasted away. And then verse 4 says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Right? You guys remember a time when you guys had to groan over some suffering? Any of you had to go through some suffering or pain where you had to groan? Any of you? Yeah, more the older people. Sorry, Pastor Tim. Yeah, it is not fun when you're groaning because of pain. I kid you not. I went through that. I have a lot of pain over my life. So even when I was 18, I was like suffering. Oh, right. Now even when I was 9 years old, I went through all sorts of bad stuff when I was a kid. Right. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and it's not fun when you're groaning. Okay. It's not fun. Right. But what we see here is that when it says that God's hands was heavy upon David, is that even when David or you and I try to hide our sin, God knows it. He knows it already. Right? For when I kept silent, so David's hiding it, but then God's hand is upon him, pressing his thumbs on David. Right? God knows the sin. God knows. Right? And there are all sorts of things that could happen too. Right? But then when it says in verse 5 that David acknowledged his sin to God, what happened? He says, when I acknowledge and I stop trying to cover it up, right? He said to himself, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. What did God do? God willingly forgave him. It says, you forgave my sin. Isn't that cool? Right? With your Heavenly Father, there's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness. And guess what? This is in the Psalms, the Old Testament. Some of you may have heard the term that, or some people, I would say they're ignorant, unfortunately. I think it's okay to say they're ignorant about this. Some people would say the God of the Old Testament or the God that you see in the Old Testament is an angry God. Any of you ever hear that before? Right? I don't know about you, but God doesn't seem very angry here in Psalm 32. You know, God is not dishing out fire and judgment here. But what we see is God judges those who are against him, trying to hide their sin. That's where we see God's judgment. Okay? When you think about it, because God knows your sin, and you try to hide it from him, you're playing God for a fool. Right? And particularly parents here, because this probably happened to you. Like, I hate to say this, but I mean, let's get real. Kids do this. You know, parents, when your kids try to hide something they've done bad from you, it always goes better for them when they just tell you right away instead of just trying to hide it. Because when they try to hide it and when you find out what they did, ooh, that doesn't go well. At least not in my house. Right? That doesn't go well with me. Imagine how God is. He says, I know what you did wrong already. Just come clean. Right? Don't play God for a fool. And when you don't play God for a fool, what do you find? An angry God? Who's ready to slap you upside your head? No. There's grace. forgiveness. You guys know the parable of the prodigal son. What did the father do when he saw his wayward son come, you know, trudging back home? The Heavenly Father embraced him. Right? There's grace and love and mercy with your Heavenly Father. And that leads us to David's advice for us in verse 6. He says, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Right? What is this prayer he's talking about? Offering prayer to you when you're found. It's the prayer of confession. Just like what we've done here earlier. Right? Confessing our trespasses. But you don't have to wait till Sunday to do it. You don't have to wait till the worship service to do it. Anytime. Because why would you want to wait to receive God's blessing? Why, you know, the blessing of forgiveness. Why do you want to wait? God offers to you freely. You know, take it. Right? And here's the cool thing. Right? Who are the godly people that David's talking about here? Who's the godly people? Is it the people who sin very little? I don't know about you. I haven't killed my best friend and taken his wife like David did. But God considers David godly. Right? And he did some bad things. Let's be upfront with that. The godly is not the ones who sin very little. The godly are the ones, the righteous ones, as it says here, are the ones who are open with their sin to God. Repenting, of course. Repenting of their sin, turning away from their sin, but being open with God. Says, I have done bad things. I have sinned against you. I have offended people. So this advice is for everyone who is godly, not for the bad people. But who are the bad people? They're the ones that are trying to hide their sin. Right? You know, Pastor Tim said it earlier this morning, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. That includes the godly too, as well as the bad people. You know, godly people sin. But what differentiates the godly from the bad is that the godly they seek God's forgiveness. They don't try to hide their sin from God. Right? So, it says, offer prayer to you, offer this prayer of confession when at a time when you may be found. When I read that, what comes to my mind is, do this as soon as possible. Why wait? Why wait? Right? Why wait? And it says in verse 7, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. The godly also looks to their Heavenly Father when trouble is near. They look to God when trouble is near. The Heavenly Father is their hiding place, a place of refuge. So even in sin, and they know they sin against the Heavenly Father, their Heavenly Father, they still run to him, seeking forgiveness, but also seeking protection. Right? And what does God promise? What does the Heavenly Father promise them? And what can you expect if you do the same thing? Surrounded by shouts of deliverance. God will deliver you. Right? God will deliver you. So there's a promise here in verse 10. It says, the steadfast love of God surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Right? That's David's advice to you. Come clean with God. Pray to God. Let Him know what you've done wrong. Trusting in Him. Unlike the ungodly who's trying to hide their sin. Right? And here's the thing. You might wonder about God's love. You know, you see His love throughout this psalm, His mercy. Right? God's steadfast love surrounds the one who trusted Him. But think about this. In these last days that we're living in right now, how did the Heavenly Father demonstrate His love for you and me in these last days? Because He's demonstrating His love from the beginning of time all the way to the present right now. How is God demonstrating His love for you and me right now? You know, just look to Romans 5:8. What does it say? But our Heavenly Father shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God shows His great love for you. And that's the big reveal in the New Testament portion of the Bible. All this talk about forgiveness that we have in the Old Testament, it's only possible through Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ, the punishment for your sin has been paid for. Now, do you believe that? That Christ died for your sins. Not just for your neighbor's sin, not for your parents' sin, not for your children's sin, but for your sin. Right? Do you believe that? Now, some of you might be on the fence about that. And how do I know that? Well, I'm basing it upon statistics a bit. Right? And older and wiser men have counseled me and says, Ray, you know, yeah, there's a good chance there'll be people on the fence about this. Right? And I'll say, don't wait any longer. Like it says earlier, as soon as possible, while God may be found. And a thought occurred to me. Right? A thought occurred to me. As Pastor Tim was presiding earlier this morning during the service, it occurred to me. And since we're talking about regrets, I'm persuaded that, you know, because of God's word and the work that God's been doing in my life for all these years, that you will find no regret trusting in Jesus. I guarantee you will not regret that decision. You will never regret trusting in Jesus. So why wait now? Why wait any longer? And when you think about it, in principle, that's a wise thing to do because God's perfect, right? He always does what is right. So if you trust Him, you're on the right track, correct? I mean, that's just thinking logically in principle. So it makes sense to trust in the Lord. And the sooner you trust, the better it is. Because you're doing the right thing more for a longer period of time. Right? And connect that with our verse again. Blessed is one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The sooner that happens, the sooner you receive that blessing. Why wait for God's blessing? It's, from a human point of view, it's in your hands. You know, from God's perspective, it's in His hands. But the decision is real. Don't try to hide your sin from God. He knows. And here's another thing that that God's been reminding me of recently in Romans 2:24. God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. That mercy that he freely offers to you through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. He wants you to turn back. And for those of us who believe, for those of us who would call the Almighty God Heavenly Father, we have that privilege of being able to call him our Heavenly Father. Man, you guys got this blessing. And Pastor Tim already pronounced that blessing upon you just a few minutes ago. Man, you know, when you believe, your sins are forgiven. Let's rejoice in that. Let's shout for joy. And then we have communion coming up, right? It's a physical, tangible reminder of what Jesus has done for you, right, Pastor Tim? Right? And then he continues to do it even now. It's a reminder. This is a beautiful day when I think about it. The more I think about it, the more beautiful it gets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example you've given us in King David. He's done some horrible things. And yet you call him a man after your own heart because you have covered his sin up. And you do not hold his sin against him. And I pray, Father, that you help each one of us to continue to come, even as we have earlier prayed for forgiveness a few minutes ago, that you will continue to work in our hearts to be open with you with our sins, to receive your forgiveness. Help each one of us to repent too. And help each one of us to rejoice seeing how blessed we are through Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.